And welcome to TTELT, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, a program of educators worldwide. I'm your host today, Melanie Gobert.
Hello, everyone. This is Melanie Gobert, your host for today's episode of TTELT podcast, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers. Joining us today is Mick King from the Community College of Qatar. And Mick will be talking about mitigating student motivations and teacher beliefs. Thank you for joining us, Mick.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Why is there sometimes a clash?
Well, I think, when we come out of teacher training college, we have very, very strong beliefs about teaching, very often based on what we were taught. So we have a certain perspective on the best way to teach. And then when we go into classrooms, we suddenly find that the context in which we're teaching does not seem to match our beliefs. And that's where I think there can sometimes be a clash. And I kind of think that, this is more likely to happen earlier in your career, where you hold on very strongly to what you believe in, and you try to convince students that this is the right way to do it. I think this is particularly useful. You can stick to your own beliefs if you have a situation where culturally the students are all from different nationalities. In that case, then it's easier for you to impose, if you like, your beliefs on the classroom. And in many ways, they're looking for you to do that because they know that they can't impose their own wishes too much because they're coming from a very multicultural sort of a student body. But when you are in a situation where you have students which are all of the same nationality in the classroom, then it's a different situation. I would say that, rather than the students coming into your classroom and your environment as a teacher, you, especially if you don't share their nationality, you are going into their classroom and their culture. So it's their classroom and you are the guest and you are the visitor. And I think in those scenarios, it makes it much more difficult to exercise your teacher beliefs if they are opposed to what the students are actually motivated by.
Okay, and how do you recognize students' needs first?
Well, I think that you get a general idea, especially if they start to show that they're not satisfied with what's going on in the classroom, then you realize that there's something wrong. But I do think that, maybe I'll come back to this in the final part, but, talking to students at the beginning, using some method to get feedback from them about what actually motivates them can make a huge difference to helping you to tailor your class more to their needs. I mean, talking about the needs of people, we can talk about intrinsic needs and extrinsic needs. And maybe I can give the example of my current teaching environment where all my students are Qatari nationals. And a few years ago, when I was back in teaching in the UAE, I taught for 3 years in a college where all the students were Emirati nationals. Now, my teaching beliefs at the time, back in the Emirates, were more dual focused, I would say. I was schooled in communicative language teaching, and so that's what I really believed in. And then I also believed in problem-based learning because I worked for 11 years in a problem-based learning university, and that really had a great impact on how I teach. But I found with the younger students that I taught in the college, that they didn't like it. They didn't like my way of teaching. They didn't like my focus. They thought it was too much work, especially problem-based learning, which is so much based on students taking the initiative. They found it really, really tough. And so when I got my first early evaluations from them, although the senior students were happy, these students really, really, they caned me in the evaluation, to be honest with you. And that was a real wake-up call for me. So, I possibly will talk a little bit later about how I got round to talking to them and turning things around. But it brought in this idea of humanism in teaching. you know, not being the sage on the stage who knows it all, and the students should just have to listen and follow what you believe in, but actually listening to them. What is it that motivates you to be in this classroom? What do you want from studying this course? Is it a grade? Is it a higher GPA? Is it some sort of promotion at work? Or are you just doing it for the love of the language? I think we need to know those things from our students, and that will then help us to forego some of our teacher beliefs and focus more on what they really want or what they feel they need. I'm not saying we should forego our teaching beliefs 100%. I think that's impossible because it's part of our DNA, you know? So, but I do think we need to sort of meet them somewhere in the middle. Hence the title of this, Mitigating Teacher Beliefs and Student Motivations.
Okay, can you give us any ideas on how we can reach a happy medium?
Well, yes. I mean, just to go back to the experience in the Emirates, when those students gave me that dreadful early evaluation, I really had to sit down and think about it. Wow, what am I going to do? So what I did actually is in the classes that followed, there were two groups. I actually said to the students, okay, this class, I want you to sit in a circle and to talk to each other about my class, okay? And no judgment from me. I'm just going to sit outside. I'm going to listen. I'm going to take some notes. And I want you to be honest. So it was a super, super interesting activity, actually, because you saw in the group that they didn't all agree with each other. I mean, okay, they graded me low, but not everyone graded me low. So therefore, there was a bit of a conversation and debate about what is the best way to learn. And then the following class after that, I then said, okay, I just summarized all of your the things that you have said. So this was interesting for them to get to know what other students think as well. And we kind of made some agreements. We just made some agreements. So I said, I will try to do this more. However, these things that you want, I can't do. One of the things that still happens nowadays is students think that sometimes that what you're doing is solely, you have total control over it. It's solely your decision. And of course, we know as teachers, that's often not the case. We are mandated to teach certain things in a certain way. And our students don't always realize that. So these kind of conversations are super interesting. Now, let me take you to my current situation and what I do with my students now in the course. The first class we always have, either they do a survey and then we discuss the results, or we just have an open discussion on motivations for why they're here. And these can be many, many reasons. In my context now, for example, we have a lot of students who are coming back to education and they need to get a certificate, an Associate of Arts, in order to get a promotion at work or to get a higher salary. So for them, it really is a question of completion. They're not so focused on learning the language for the sake of the language. Although some of them probably have some intrinsic motivation, most of them is quite extrinsic. So it gives me a flavor of the group. And then we can have discussions about what they want and what I can do, what they want and what I can't do. And then another thing that I do, which I took actually from the college in the UAE where I worked, but it's not official, it's my own one, is after about 3 weeks of a 16-week course, I send out a very simple survey to my students and I ask them personally for an evaluation of my teaching so far. And I keep it very simple. I just say to them, I give them some Likert scale measurements, very simple questions. So it will say, for example, the teacher is clear and they have to give me a rating from 5 to 1. A really important one in this culture, I feel comfortable in the class. Okay, that's super important with the students that I teach here. They need to feel comfortable. So some key questions that I think are important. And then some open questions, which would be, what do you like in my class and you'd like me to continue doing? What don't you like in my class and you would like me to stop? And then the last question is there anything that I don't do in my class that you would like me to do? And so this gives me an incredible amount of data And I think as long as you build up a rapport with your students that it's okay to give this kind of information to the teacher, there's not going to be any negative consequences for them, then they are very open. They will speak very, very freely about what they want. And so again, after that, you have that conversation, you know? So here's the results. And of course, nowadays, if you have technology, I don't know if you do, but nowadays with technology, you can pull out little pie charts with results and things. So it's really interesting to do, and the students kind of quite like it. The last thing, of course, is at the end of the course. You know, I think at the end of the course, we have our official evaluations, which are done, but students very rarely fill them in. So they don't really give you any good data regarding your own development and your own growth. So I think just doing your own survey at the end, or I normally do a little discussion board. Very similar questions to before, but now it's at the end of the course. So maybe they have a different perspective and I get them to do that. And, you know, again, they are very willing to give feedback and to sort of say, well, I would have preferred this, I would have preferred that. So this is all really valuable information, I think, which you can take forward to the next time you teach the course. So this is not rocket science, what I'm saying here. It's very simple, but I find it a very effective tool to really engage with your class. So you get that also a bit of a socio-emotional connection with your students. They feel that you're on their side, that you are rooting for them, that you're listening to them. And I think it makes a really, really big difference.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today, Mick, on TTELT, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, a program of educators worldwide. This is Melanie Gobert, your host for today's episode. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today. Share with us how you are using these tips. Leave us a comment or voice message on social media or at ttelt.org. Thanks for joining this episode of TTELT, brought to you by Educators Worldwide. Follow, like, and subscribe to TTELT on your social media, and try a new teaching tip today.